610-993 WBT. No, I appreciate Corey. Sorry, I just ran out of time there. I heard the music playing top of the hour last segment. So I've talked about this before over the last probably week or so with the, you know, the finding of all of the guns. There's a bargain. There's a deal that is made between government and its citizens. We give up certain liberties and we trade those out for security. That's at the most basic level. We trade those out because we don't have the time to be, you know, protecting everything all the time and protecting all of the society all the time. And we have a uniform kind of code of law and everybody is equal under the law. And like all of these concepts, these building blocks upon which the society is erected, like that's the deal. That is at its most base level. I'm going to trade off some of my liberty for this security so we can all have economic activity that occurs under this umbrella of security. And much in the same way, the school system, being a government entity, has, you know, made the same bargain with its citizens. And we order our lives around the school system everywhere. Like, I don't think it's a good idea. I don't like the fact that all of these decisions are dictated based on where, you know, you want to send your kid to school. I don't think it's a great idea. I want more school choice. And I think that that would solve or help to solve some of the violence issues in schools. Because if you do, you know, you don't want to be in that school anymore, bring a gun. You ain't going to be in that school anymore. They're going to kick you out. Now, that's not to say there shouldn't be a sort of baseline, you know, safety net type of level of schools. And some government schools are going to be able to compete for the voucher dollars. I'm not meaning this to turn into a big voucher topic, but that is my animating philosophy. That's my bias. It's against the current K-12 model. I find it to be wholly inappropriate, ineffective, inefficient for our current times, if ever before. So while I understand that the schools cannot be held responsible, and, you know, teachers and principals, like, you didn't bring the gun to school. And sometimes, you know, kids are coming from really dangerous home environments. Maybe somebody stuffed a gun in a kid's backpack to hide it, told the kid to get rid of it or something. And the kid shows up. I mean, whatever. Teachers and principals are put in bad spots all the time by bad parents and bad students. Absolutely. But you should be able to set up some measures on the perimeter because this is basic security. See, that's, again, that's the deal. Give up liberty. In this case, the liberty for my kid, right? You're requiring me to educate my kid. You're requiring me to send my kid to a school. So if you're going to do that, you've got to guarantee his safety. Within reasonable confines. But I'm going to send my kid to the school. And if you're not going to take any kind of measures to protect my kid at the school, contract's null and void, man. Doesn't work, nor should it. So people in San Francisco are freaking out is the headline from the San Francisco Chronicle. From martial arts to high-end locks, SF residents are investing in self-protection. This is a piece by Annie Weinstein. And she writes, with San Francisco mired in an intensifying debate over crime and public safety, operators of self-defense schools and people who sell security equipment say they're seeing an uptick in business. San Francisco, which has long struggled with high rates of theft crimes, has not experienced major increases in violent crime this year, according to police figures, but more burglaries, robberies, and other crimes are being captured on videos that spread virally on social media, and the city has been consumed by the war of words over progressive district attorney Chesa Bowden, or Bowden, I don't know. I don't care. The son of the unrepentant terrorist. And his efforts to reduce incarceration in favor of treatment and rehab. By the way, is that actually happening? Is there rehab for the organized looters? Is there a rehab program for that? When the, you know, 80 people show up in the vehicles surrounding a store, bum rush the doors, steal a bunch of handbags and footwear and then flee the scene, knowing that a couple of them are going to get caught, but everybody else gets away. It's sort of like the fire ants. You ever seen the fire ants? Or when they're in the floods and stuff, and like some of them like sacrifice themselves and then the others like ride the carcasses. It's crazy. But so is that actually working, though? Is there rehab for the looting mobs? I'd like to know, like, can we get an assessment of that? In addition to self-defense classes, San Franciscans are turning to hardware to shore up their sense of security. Locksmiths and home security companies say they're struggling to keep up with relentless demand from people looking to invest in higher grade protection to deter thieves, as well as those who have already suffered break-ins. This was one of the things. There was back in my day, about 15 years ago, there was a public information officer for Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police. And I remember having a conversation with her at the time about crime rates that were going up, and property crime rates specifically. And when I was doing a story and I had the data, and I forget precisely what it was, but I had said something to her, and you know, something like, everybody either has been a victim of a crime or knows somebody who's been a victim of a property crime based on these numbers. And she said, that's not true. And she says, like, I don't know anybody that's been a victim of a property crime, and I've not been a victim of a property crime. I said, well, you know me. I've been victimized. I've been victimized actually at both houses that I've lived in Charlotte. Both of the houses I lived in Charlotte were burglarized. Well, one of them was the shed out in the backyard where Jimmy, as they called him around the neighborhood, Jimmy the crackhead, and he stole my lawnmower from my shed. And my next door neighbor saw him do it, but assumed that he was just doing odd jobs for me, because she said to him, oh, hey, are you helping him with some yard work? And he said, why, yes, I am, and took my mower. And then he went back to jail. They didn't catch him for the crime, but he went back to jail a little while after that. And the woman who lived behind me, her son lived next door to me, and Chris was his name. And so I was talking to Chris, and Chris was talking about how, you know, he can't believe, you know, that Jimmy would do such a thing. And everybody in the neighborhood knows Jimmy. And, you know, Jimmy, you know, it's kind of crazy because, you know, Jimmy, you know, he'd come around every now and again and he'd have some stuff for sale that he got from his parents' house, because he lived with his parents, supposedly, and he was just walking around selling their stuff. And I'm like, dude, Chris, really? I said, he's fencing stolen goods to you. And he's like, well, you think so? I said, I know so. And I was like, have you ever had anything stolen? He's like, yeah, I've lost a lot of stuff. This, you know, people have stolen stuff out of my back porch. Like, dude, it was Jimmy. What are you? Good Lord, man. Like, that's how this stuff happens. And then we got actually burglarized at our house. That was a different occasion, in Steel Creek. So, yeah, property crime. And by the way, if you don't think that affects you psychologically, it absolutely affects you. Knowing that people have been through your house, in your house, stealing your stuff, it absolutely leaves a mark. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Pete Callender here. Happy Wednesday before Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving Eve. 704-570-1110, 1-800-WBT-1110. Got an email here from Jeff who says, Pete, Charlotte Mayor Vi Lyles, doesn't her covert racial equity plan include bail reforms, which caused this recent catastrophe? I'm not sure I saw that. I'm not saying no. I don't know. I'll have to check on that. Equity initiative. I'm making a note here to check on it. See, that's what I do. I'll check. Let me see here. This is from Joseph. Pete, when I listen to the podcast, I pause it, and then I do impromptu commercials for Old Grouch's Military Surplus. I spice it up with snazzy jingles like, the apocalypse is coming, so don't sit on the couch. Fight Satan's minions with these deals from Old Grouch. Speaking of Old Grouch, I actually got a message from him while talking about the topic here. Haywood County out west in western North Carolina, Haywood County, is under a pilot pretrial release system where people get arrested or get released on a promise to appear over and over and over and over. They had Turn 'Em Loose Bruce up in New York City. Well, out in Western North Carolina, we have Let 'Em Go Letts, who is spearheading the stuff here. And he sent me a link to an article out of the Mountaineer.com. A Clyde man, that's a place, by the way, Clyde. Clyde man was arrested Friday night, charged with rape after being released from jail twice that same day. Matthew Tyler Edwards, 28, was initially arrested by Waynesville Police Department at 8:42 a.m. that morning and charged with first-degree trespassing, then was released on a written promise to appear. 3 hours later, he's arrested again by Waynesville Police, this time for being drunk and disruptive. Intoxicated. I guess he could have been on any number of substances. Court documents note that he interfered with traffic on Brown Avenue, which led to his arrest. He was then released at 5:15 p.m. And about 5 hours after that, dispatchers get a call saying a female was screaming for help. And police arrive on the scene. They find him assaulting her, and he was arrested and charged with second-degree rape. We get the government we deserve, and we get the government that we vote for. If you're okay with this, keep voting in these crazy Soros-funded DAs. Oh my gosh, Pete said George Soros. Yes, I did. I said it. I'm allowed to say it. Did you know that? Because it's not. And I know that there are a lot of people in media, corporate media outlets, folks on the left. They try to shut down any kind of mention of that man's name, because as soon as you mention it, what do? They scream anti-Semitism, which is hilarious coming from the party that houses the likes of Rashida Tlaib, right? And Ilhan Omar. But I digress. But here's the thing. I'm allowed to say that because my grandfather was Jewish. I'm allowed. So, yes, like that's how this works. I'm allowed. Well, wait a minute. Am I allowed to say that? Because the rules have changed. They change so much, so frequently. I don't know. Maybe they did change the rules. I haven't checked since, I don't know. It's been a while. But I'm allowed to say that. I'm allowed to say that this guy has a lot of money. He broke the British pound. He was, I believe he's still wanted in, is it France? Might be France. I forget. The guy's, he does not have America's interests at heart, okay? So, and he funds so many of these leftist organizations. And that's really the reason why they accuse anybody who mentions his name of anti-Semitism. And because they don't want you looking at the fact that he is the, like, top funder for all of these organizations. So he has dumped a bunch of money into elections for district attorneys throughout the nation. This is part of the plan, just like they funded the Secretaries of State project, which was done after the 2000 election. Well, P, why would you fund Secretaries of State? Well, in most states, they're in charge of elections, and this became a focal point after the 2000 election with Bush v. Gore and the hanging chads in Florida, and the Secretary of State down there made some calls, made some decisions, and they didn't like them. And so they started this effort raising money and running candidates throughout America. Well, I shouldn't say throughout America, but like predominantly in the swing states. That's the key. Get them elected in swing states, and we can start enacting these policies that we want to see enacted. So that's what the DA project is about. It's the same formula, right? It's the same tactic. I saw somebody mention this the other day on social media. And of course, now that I started to say it, now I'm drawing a blank on like the payoff. So I probably shouldn't have said it, but it was some, let me see if I can remember it as I go, which was, if you're wondering why they enact so many policies that seem to be destructive, and at some point you start wondering, like, how could you be so wrong about so many of these things, right? Well, it's not that they're wrong. It's not that these projects are creating results that are surprising to the leftists. That's not the case. It's the point. It's a feature. It's not a bug, right? That's the purpose, is they don't like it. This is fundamental transformation. Taking down Jefferson's statue, part of the project. That's the point. That's the point. News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. The jury has now returned with its verdict in the murder trial. Ahmaud Arbery, 25-year-old black man, shot and killed February 23rd, 2020, when he charged an armed Travis McMichael on a Georgia roadway. This is according to legalinsurrection.com. Travis McMichael was standing beside a stopped pickup truck at the time while his father, Greg McMichael, was in the bed of the truck armed with a pistol. The McMichaels had been pursuing Arbery in the belief that he was a serial felony burglar who had been plaguing their suburban neighborhood for weeks. A short distance from where the shooting took place, neighbor William Roddy Bryan followed in his own vehicle, making a shaky recording of the final confrontation on his cell phone. It was this video that would bring the case to national attention a few weeks after the shooting took place and after an initial prosecutorial review had resulted in no charges against either the McMichaels or Bryan. And that's what prompted a lot of the outrage surrounding this case, was that nothing was happening in this case. So the jury is now back, told the court that they have reached a verdict. We're monitoring Fox News right now. I guess they're bringing the jury in, but they are not in the courtroom yet. These things don't take a lot of time. They bring the jury in. They'll ask them, you know, the formalities. Did you reach a conclusion? Yes, we did. And then they run through the counts. There are a bunch of counts, though. Also, keep in mind, according to Legal Insurrection, you carry a gun. Oh, sorry. No, this is from Andrew Bronca, who says, you carry a gun so you're hard to kill and you know the law so you're hard to convict. Stay safe. They're back. All right, so the jury is back. You want to go ahead and... here we go. They're walking back into the courtroom now. The judge, as is customary, has everybody stand when the jury comes in. The charges include malice murder, felony murder, aggravated assault, false imprisonment, and criminal attempt to commit a felony. The most egregious of the charges, the worst ones, could actually result in the death penalty. All
right. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Madam Foreperson, I understand you have reached a verdict as to each defendant.
We have.
Could you please hand your verdict forms to the sheriff?
The judge usually looks over these forms, makes sure that they've checked the correct boxes, filled them in properly. Either the judge will read them or the judge will hand them back and let the jury read them. We shall see. I don't know what the protocol is in Georgia. So the malice murder, punishable by death or life imprisonment without possibility of parole. However, the prosecution is not seeking execution here.
All right. I'm going to go ahead and address each one of these verdict forms separately. The first verdict form I have is the State of Georgia versus Travis McMichael. Mr. McMichael, please stand. Verdict is as follows. In the Superior Court of Glynn County, State of Georgia, the State of Georgia versus Travis McMichael, case number CR00433. Jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty.
Oh.
I'm going to ask that whoever just made an outburst be removed from the court, please.
As is proper. You don't get to do that. In a courtroom, you don't get to do that when the verdicts are read. You are removed. So that is obviously the most serious of the charges. Travis McMichael, the one with the shotgun. He claimed that Ahmaud Arbery tried to get it from him. This is on video of them wrestling over the gun.
As this court has indicated, I ask that there be no outbursts in the court, and I expect as much from the gallery. Please respect the court's desire for this as we move forward. If you feel like you need to make a comment or otherwise demonstrate with respect to the verdict, I do ask that you step out of the courtroom now. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count seven, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count eight, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Count nine, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant, Travis McMichael, guilty. Dated this 24th day of November, 2021, signed by the foreperson.
So that's guilty on all of the counts. One malice murder, four felony murder counts, two aggravated assaults, false imprisonment, and criminal attempt to commit a felony. Here's Travis's father.
In the Superior Court of Glynn County, the state of Georgia, versus Greg McMichael. Case number CR 200043. Jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, not guilty. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count seven, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count eight, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. Count nine, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant, Greg McMichael, guilty. This 24th day of November, 2021, signed by the foreperson.
So he's guilty on all counts except for the most serious, the malice murder count.
In the Superior Court of Glynn County, State of Georgia, State of Georgia versus William R. Bryan, case number CR 200433, jury verdict form. Count one, malice murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, not guilty. Count two, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, not guilty. Count three, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Count four, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Count five, felony murder. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Count six, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, not guilty. Count seven, aggravated assault. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Count eight, false imprisonment. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Count nine, criminal attempt to commit a felony. We, the jury, find the defendant, William R. Bryan, guilty. Signed this 24th day of November by the foreperson.
All right, so not guilty on the malice murder charge, not guilty on one of the four felony murder counts, not guilty on one of the two aggravated assault counts. The felony murder four counts, these are based on underlying felonies that were also charged. So that there's four different felony murder charges. And so they obviously split them up based on the specific counts. Like I thought it was, only one of the aggravated assault counts that this fella had. So Travis McMichael, the one with the shotgun, in that scene in the video, he testified in his own defense. He was found guilty on all counts. His father, who was pointing the pistol at Ahmaud Arbery while he was in the back of the pickup truck, he was found guilty on all but one of the counts. The one count that he was not guilty on was the most serious malice murder count. And then William Roddy Bryan, the one shooting the video, not guilty on three of the eight counts, but guilty on all of the others. Sentencing will now proceed. And I believe that'll be done by the judge. I don't believe that the jury would stick around for the sentencing of this, but I don't know the Georgia law on that. But all right. So that's the Ahmaud Arbery murder trial. We'll get more details here. We'll take a quick break on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Jury system works again. Not systemic racism anymore. I mean, but I mean, the rules change so fast. Because the jury trial, like the jury that acquitted Kyle Rittenhouse, was proof of the white supremacy and systemic racism. So what is this one? Because you know that jury was like 11 white people and one black person that just convicted the three white guys for killing a black guy. And look, I have not followed the trial because when I first became aware of the story, I should say, I read through the details of it at that time, and it seemed like, yeah, obviously these guys are guilty. So I've not really paid a lot of attention to the way it has unfolded. Now, had it not gone the way it just went, I probably would have had to have done a crash course over the holiday, you know, of like reacquainting myself with the details of the case and how could the prosecution have messed this up so badly. But by the way, this is why I say I never make predictions on the outcome of jury trials. Because like, who's going to make this prediction that Travis McMichael, he's going to be guilty on all the counts, but his father, Greg, he's going to be guilty only on eight of the nine. And then Or seven of the eight. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Eight of the nine. And William Roddy Bryan, he's going to be guilty on six of the nine, but not these ones here. And for this reason, whatever. Like, that's just, you don't ever know. You never know what deals get cut behind the closed doors. You don't know what people are thinking. So, me personally, I believe that justice was served in this case. Absolutely. I have found nothing in the Ahmaud Arbery information that I read when it first happened. I saw nothing in there, and I'm not aware of any new information that came out that blew up the case. There wasn't anything there that indicated that he was a threat, that he was gunned down. He was followed, and he was shot and killed by people who thought they were above the law and thought they had a right to do it. The McMichaels claimed that they chased Arbery because they thought he was a burglar walking through this house that was being built. And like a couple things, like, because I remember when this first happened, a couple things. Number one, like, I didn't realize that people looked suspiciously at folks who walk through houses being built. Like, I didn't realize that was a thing. I also didn't realize how many people were just like me. That I walk through houses. Chris, look, Christy and I, we built a house in outside of Asheville in Arden, and we sold it. It was a build to suit. You know, it was in a neighborhood. They were building it. We got to make some, you know, choices on, you know, countertops and stuff like that. And so as it was being built, we would go and take pictures. And good thing we did, because I would take pictures of like the plumbing and all of that as it was getting put in. And then when the house was finished and there was a big plumbing problem and the plumber was like, well, I don't know what this plumbing looks like because I wasn't the one who did the work. And I said, aha, I have pictures. And I showed him the pictures and he was like, wow, you are fantastic, Pete. That is awesome that you took pictures. Okay, he didn't say that. But like, I got that vibe from him. It was totally the vibe. Okay, so we went and checked out the house. We walked through not just our house, but other houses that were around us to see what finishes they had gotten and where they were in the process and that sort of stuff. Then I get the job here. We move to Charlotte and sell that house. And now we're building a house. Right now, we're having another house built. And we walk through that house too. And I take pictures. And we also walk through some of the other houses. And I know we're not supposed to technically do that, but I do it. And we enjoy it. We like watching this process. I've always been, things that humans create. Like, I know this sounds silly. As I say it, I realize it. But I drive under the 485 flyover, the big over I-77. Like, how tall is that thing? I don't even know. It's like 70 stories high. It seems like that. It's very tall. And I'm just in awe of that. Like, that humans figured out how to build a road that freezes at the first sign of frost. No, I'm kidding. But, like, that is that high, that tall. The engineering to make that thing stand is amazing to me. And people building a home, as they do in the course of a couple months, is amazing to me. And I like watching it. I like looking at that. So anyway, I wasn't aware of how many people were like, he shouldn't have been running around that house. He deserved to be chased down. He's suspicious. Like, so am I suspicious because I'm walking through my house? No. I saw a lot of people try to make excuses for the behavior of the men that chase this guy down. You don't get to do that. You don't get to chase a guy down, hold him at gunpoint, and question him. And that's really the problem, is you're questioning him. Why are you questioning him? It tells you that you didn't see the thing that you supposedly chased him down for. And the other question is, well, then he tried to grab the gun. Let's flip it. What if you, walking down the street, you check out the house. As you're leaving, all of a sudden, you start getting chased by three men in trucks. Do you think they may have, some violence on their minds? It's possible. What if they're of a different race than you? Do you think that might feed a fear? A fear that turned out to be correct in this case. So no, I don't think they got the wrong decision here. I think the jury got the right decision. That's one of the things, like, you want to, and honestly, like, if you want to have the faith in the institutions, this is required. Like, you got to have an understanding of cases, and when they come to the right conclusion, you have to put it in the column of got the right conclusion. By the way, you know what other case is going on now? It's the Ghislaine Maxwell case, right? Epstein's groomer? Yeah. So she's on trial. That's going to trial. They're doing the jury selection and stuff. So I'm going to be following that one too. And fingers crossed. Well, I mean, I say that, but I don't know all of the details that are going to come out in court. And like I said, I was kind of aware. I mean, I knew the case, the Arbery trial was going on, and I was kind of monitoring it, just like the news coverage, to see, are there any bombshells that come out of the court? And there weren't, or out of the trial, and there weren't. So nothing changed my original take on it based on the original information, based on the original analysis by legal experts. So my opinion, just what I know, you know what I know now, like that's the right decision. News is next. After that, we're going to take a listen to Michael Schellenberger. He's got a book called San Francisco, Why Progressives Ruin Cities. All right, that's next on News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT.